Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, How Narrow is the Door to Heaven?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about doors and gates and about how narrow is the door to heaven? How wide is it? How hard is the way to heaven? Or how easy is the way? How many do you think will be saved and will enter by the door to the world above, to the kingdom above and to the world to come? How many are going to actually enter through that door, through that gate? Is there actually a door and a gate to the Father above? Is there a door to the kingdom? Is there a door to the world to come? Let's talk about doors and gates today and see what God would teach us about that in His scriptures for our sharpening and encouragement in the faith. First of all, if we think about doors or gates today, what does a door do? Well, we have doors all around us, right? We've got a door there, 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 there. We've got a door entering into our church, a door entering into this room, the sanctuary. We've got a gate right here between there and here. I've just passed through a gate. So what does a door or a gate do? Allows you to go from one place into another place, right? What else do doors do? Doors are very powerful, and gates are powerful. Is their second purpose is not only to let you go from one place to another, but to give and permit access to some to enter and to go from that one place to the next, and also to forbid or deny access to other people. Hence, we lock doors, don't we? When we're not here at church, we actually lock the door so no one comes in. We deny access, just like the door in your house. Who do you want to let into your house? Family and friends. But you also lock the door at night, probably most of you, to keep out robbers and criminals. And so doors are very powerful. Gates are powerful. And they're very prominent in Scripture and in spiritual realms. Let's consider some of the gates and doors that are in the Bible. First of all, at the very beginning, there's a door and a gate, isn't there? Adam and Eve are in a garden, right? Like this picture, this is the garden. They sin, and what happens to them? They are driven out in Genesis chapter 3, out of the garden, and they have to go away from the presence of the Lord. And what is standing at the gate, at the door? A guardian cherubim angel with a flaming sword turning every which way to guard the way to the tree of life, lest they should take from it. So you have a door there. That's very powerful. Another door you might look at is the door in the ark. Remember that? Yeah. So Noah was told to make an ark through which he got saved in the days of the flood. And God had a special design, he says, to have a door there that you'd enter into. So what happens to people that are outside the door? They perish. But God had Noah go into the door, and then he shut it and sealed it. Here we go. We can even do that right here. He shut him in and kept him safe in the ark during the days of the flood. And God's own finger closed the door. Isn't that cool? So a door there was salvation. You look at the Passover. Remember that? How did they get saved there? If you have a door, let's say to the Hebrews over here, they put blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. The blood of the Lamb saved you such that when the avenging angels came to bring God's wrath upon Egypt, they came and looked and said, there's blood on that door, the blood of the Lamb, and they passed over it and went another way. But if there was no blood upon the door, it allowed access. The avenging angels entered and they died. So there again, door is about salvation. Who's in, who's out? You have a door at the tent of meeting in the wilderness. Remember that? So if you were entering into the temple to get close to where God was, let's say this is the center of the temple, you would have to go through an outer door into the temple itself. Then into the holy place, you'd enter another door like this one over here. Then you'd enter another door into the Holy of Holies, and finally you got to God. So to get to God, there were a lot of doors he had to go through, amen? A lot of gates on the way to the king before you were allowed into his presence. You have doors also for your heart, don't you? Remember Revelation chapter 3, what's Jesus say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. So your door, your hearts have doors. Do you let Jesus into your heart? He belongs there. He's the king. And you also have doors between heaven and earth. Remember James says in James chapter 5, he says, don't grumble against one another, brethren. Behold the judge. He's standing at the doors. He's ready to come. So there's a door between heaven and where we are down here on earth. There are doors and he's ready to come. And so there's doors all over Scripture. And they're very powerful and often have to do with salvation and in spiritual realms. So that's amazing. Now, we got to ask the next question, though, is how narrow is that door to heaven? How narrow the door to get to God the King? How narrow the door into the world to come in the kingdom? Well, what would the world say about that one, you think? If you ask an average Joe out there in the world today who doesn't know the Lord, oh, it's wide, right? It's a big, wide, broad street, and it's a wide door, and the way there is very easy, because most people ultimately will be saved. It's pretty easy to get to heaven. You hear that all the time, right? Someone dies, what do they say? Oh, Uncle Herb, he's in a better place, even though he was a drunkard and he loved the ladies, and yeah, he was a gambler, and he's really a pretty rotten guy, but he's in a better place. He's much better now. That's what the world says, because they say the way to heaven is wide, is easy, and the gate to heaven is wide. God basically takes everybody, except maybe Hitler, right? I'll keep him out, but the rest of us should all get in, because we're all decent fellows. You know, that's a teaching that you'll get even in a lot of churches, a lot of mainline liberal churches. They basically teach something called universalism. You ever hear of that? Which is basically everybody will be saved because God's good and he's loving. He never sent anybody to hell. And so you should be good. You can live as a coveter. You can have sexual sin. You can be a liar. But, you know, God's loving. So you should get in okay, because the way is easy and the gate is wide, they say. You also have the Hollywood pop culture teaches that all the time. You ever watch a movie and someone dies? Let me ask you a question. Is there ever an alarm or a note of striking fear in anyone's heart when somebody in a movie dies that's not a Christian? No, they're all like, he's in a better place. So you get that from the culture. You get it also from people's just plain their hearts, because nobody, or most people, don't want to think about a holy God casting someone into the outer darkness with fury. That kind of a thought is just repulsive to most human hearts, and so they shy away from it. And pretty much, where do you land? The way to heaven is easy. The gate there is wide. We'll all be saved. We'll go to a better place. It'll work out. Don't worry about it. It's easy. Now, that's the world. What do you think? Is that what our Lord says?
No.
Let's take a look at what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches, because let's mark this well for our own sharpening in the faith today, that Jesus speaks very differently from the world. Here we go. Let's do it to Luke 13. Start here. We'll just look at two passages here today. Luke 13, verse 22. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said, Lord, will those who are saved be few? So how many people are going to be saved is the question. Few. And Jesus answers like this. He says, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Does that strike a note of fear into you? To shock you awake from the world's teaching? What does Jesus say here about the door? It is very narrow. The way there is very hard, and how many actually are going to get to heaven when they die and see God and the King on his throne? Few is really the answer. He says many, when it comes to that time, are going to stand outside and they're going to knock. And then they will seek to gain entrance. Those who are very complacent and cool in their sins today and thinking it's all going to work out just fine, they will seek to enter and will not be able. They won't have the power. They won't have the capability. They won't have the ability to get in because the door will be locked at that time. Is that something to waken us up to a new zeal to strive for the door? Let's look at what Jesus says here next. In verse 25, he says, "For when once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you'll begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' And he'll answer you, 'I don't know where you come from.'" So who is the householder here? God. He's the keeper of the door to where? Heaven and the world to come. And many are going to stand outside and knock and say, "Please, please, 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 open up, open up." And he's going to say, "I don't know where you come from." So is the door to heaven open right now, Susan? Is it open right now? Is that a good word? Is it open? It is open right now. That's actually a good word out of this passage, that the way is attainable right now, Jesus says. And we're living in a time of grace and salvation when people who would enter can enter. But many people are taking that for granted. Amen. They're just coasting through life thinking it's easy, the gate's wide, I'll get in okay, I can live in my sins, follow my passions, have whatever faith I please, I can be an atheist, I'll get in. They're in for a rude awakening and a great surprise on the day of the Lord, because they'll stand outside and knock, "Please, Lord, open to us too." And he will say, "I don't know where you come from." So are they content with that? They just go away? What happens? They plead again. "Oh, please, please." Hear the desperation, Jesus says, there will be on that day. What a rude awakening. Then you will begin to say, you know, to Jesus, "We ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. We had churches of yours in our town." Even the Lord's Supper, right? Maybe even these people, some of them went to church. But he will say to you, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." And there outside you will gnash and your teeth and weep. So there's coming a day, friends. The door to heaven right now is what? Open. There's coming a day. Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows the hour. He comes like a thief. When once he'll stand up and shut the door, and it'll be closed, and there's no opening it. Because Jesus is the one who has the power to open doors, and he has the power to close doors. And those who are outside at the time of his coming are going to want to get in, but there's no more getting in at that point. What a rude awakening they're in for. What's the good news for us? Jesus says what in Revelation chapter 1? "I have the keys of death and Hades." Already right now, he has opened the door to salvation, and he actually is the door. Let's take a look at another passage here and get this even a little bit better. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says it with these words in verse 13 and following. He says, "Enter therefore, enter by the narrow gate." Say the word narrow. "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." He couldn't be any more point blank, straight and clear on that one. So we're to strive to enter what kind of a door? A narrow one. And where does that door lead? It leads to life. So we see that there's two doors here, right? One leads to life, one leads to destruction. Let's take a look at destruction for a moment. The word there for destruction, it leads to apoleia, which means destruction, ruin, hell, outer darkness, the bottomless pit, the abyss, a place you don't want to go. The way there, Jesus says, is plateia in the Greek, which means it's a broad street. And it's also euchoros, which means easy. It's not hard to walk in that way. Why is it not hard to walk in the way toward destruction? Because you're going with the current of this world. You're going with the current of sin. You're going with the current of the devil. You're going with the current of antichrists, which we see in the world even today. So you're floating downstream. You know, Beth and I go up to New York, and we float down the Baton Kill River sometimes, some years. You ever do this kind of thing on a raft? And the whole town up there pretty much floats down the river a lot of times in the summer, drinking a beer while they're floating, having a good time, coursing down, just drifting along. And that would be all fine, right? Unless your river is called what? Niagara. What's at the end of the Niagara River? The falls. You going to survive that? So it's all nice and fine to float down river and have a beer and follow your passions. It's just a wonderful day. Let's just enjoy it. But if it's going towards the falls, that's a problem. Well, Jesus says the way that the world is going is following the current of Antichrist, the devil, your own passions. That is leading to a great fall, apoleia, the Niagara Falls, ruin, devastation, destruction, not life, but death. And that's where most of the world goes. And we got to be very wary not to go that way. For he says, many enter by it. The word for many is poloi, which simply means in the Greek, many. Okay? A large multitude are going that way. And let's just remember in Scripture, how many people left Egypt on the way to the Promised Land? 600,000 men plus women and children. How many made it to the Promised Land? Their children and Joshua and Caleb. Few, in other words. How many people were there in the world in the days of Noah? A lot. How many actually survived the flood? A few. Eight. Got inside the door. How many were there in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah in those cities? A lot of people lived there. How many got out of those cities before down comes the fire and brimstone? Lot and his two daughters. Even his wife turns back and says, well, I really love Macy's and Gimbel's. And turns into a pillar of salt. So let's remember, the history is people don't take it seriously when they have the chance, while grace is open, the door. Those who are his, God's, come through the door, and we enter into the place of life and safety, into the ark, into the kingdom, into the world. And so let's remember, Isaiah 66 says, for by fire the Lord will execute judgment. This is at the end of time. And by his sword upon all flesh. And those slain by the Lord shall be many. So this is for our sharpening in the faith today, so that we don't just course down the river like everybody else. But we fight. What does Jesus tell us to do here? He says, there is also a gate, though, to life. And you can find it. You can achieve it. And you got to go for it. The gate to life is actually the word, the gate is poule in the Greek, which is not just any door like in a house. It's the gate to a city. So think about this. We are striving as Christians for the gate, for the city of the great God in heaven. To attain to his throne, that's where we're after as his people. We want to go through the gate of the city, the poule. And then we are to go through it's narrow is the way, stenos, narrow or straight. Any sailors out there? If you go from the Atlantic Ocean into the Mediterranean, what do you have to pass through? The Straits of Gibraltar. That is a bottleneck, right? So all the ships are trying to cream through this tiny little area. The word here in the Greek means compressed, pressed together, crushing, very small, narrow way. And so you're going through the Straits of Gibraltar into the Mediterranean. I got a little example right here just to bring it home again. I got a bottle of water right here. Ready? How does this water get out of the bottle? One way, right? All right, so I got the water out of the bottle that way. How do I get it back into this bottle? Can I pour it anywhere? No. Can I pour it over here, Vivian? Uh-oh, sorry, your rug. Oh my goodness. How about over here, Zuleika? Is it getting in the bottle? Everybody thinks that they can pour the water anywhere they want and they're going to get into the kingdom. How do you get into the kingdom? There's only one door. It's a narrow way, stenos. Look at that. I can get it in there if I'm trying. There's one way in, a bottleneck, Straits of Gibraltar. One way into the kingdom, says the Lord. This is the truth. This is what the king tells us. And he says it is also a hard way. The word is thlibo in the Greek. That's the word that means pressed together, compressed, narrow, pressed by evil, affliction, torment, difficulty, tribulation. It's not easy. It's sort of like a tangled, dark forest. You have to kind of cut your way through and be going, but actually God has a straight path through it you can find that goes through. That's the one that is to life that we need to strive for. It leads to life. So if you think about the Niagara River and you're floating down that one with a beer, what do you have to do? You have to go against the current and start paddling upstream. And what are you paddling up towards? Which is a little harder, obviously, than going downstream, right? But what do you have at the upstream? You get eventually up to this mountain lake and mountains spreading all around you and wonder and majesty and a city and a kingdom and a castle full of light and wonder and forests and glory and flowers and color and peace. It's so beautiful there. That's where we're going, against the current, away from the falls and up to the kingdom. And Jesus says, how many find it? Few. The word is oligos in the Greek, which means, you know me by now, it means?
Few.
Very good. That's great. Small in number, little in quantity. And what's Jesus therefore tell us to do to get there? He says, strive. Say the word strive.
Strive.
The word in the Greek is agonizomai, which means to contend for victory in the public games. To be like an Olympic champion, running, straining forward with every fiber of your body and soul, running for the prize, upward, as Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is that your faith? Well, we all have trouble with this. That's why I'm preaching it to you today, to encourage you and to stir up zeal again, to run for that prize. So now let's talk about the door. What is the door? If we have to enter through doors and gates, how do we get up to the kingdom and enter through? Who is the door?
Jesus
is. He says in John chapter 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And he'll come in and out and go and find pasture. It'll be glorious for you. He says in John 14, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me, because he is the door into heaven, to the world to come. And Paul, and Peter says, there's salvation in nobody else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we need to enter by Jesus Christ. Now, why do we have to enter by him? Number one, he said so. He's very clear. And God's very clear. Number two, because what keeps you out of heaven and the kingdom to come?
Sin,
right? Good. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened to them? They were driven out of the garden and the door was locked with the flaming sword. How do you get back into paradise and to heaven above if you're full of sin? Answer, you can't. Jesus says in John chapter 8, I'm going away. I'm on earth, but I'm going away. I'm going up to heaven. And you're going to seek me, and you're not going to find me. And where I'm going, you can't come, because I tell you, you'll die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. That's a good word, actually. Because you can't get in because of sin. It bars you from heaven in the world to come. But if you believe in me, Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm the Savior, you can come right in, because my blood sets you free. Your faith in me receives that salvation, and you get saved. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. This is even logical, isn't it? Who's been to England? Raise your hand. How many of you have seen the Queen personally? Did you get into her presence? Oh, okay. But you saw her maybe at a distance.
No tea, nothing.
No tea or nothing?
She was very British.
Oh, dear. The British, they didn't, you know, they need to come down to our level. No. But the point is it's logical you can't get to the king without going through lots of doors. You can't even get to see the Queen of England. To get to the Queen of England, there are lots of gates you have to go through. The gates of customs in the U.S., the gate of customs in the U.K., then the gate of the taxi, the gate to London, the gate to Buckingham Palace, and that's usually as far as any of us get. You don't even see the Queen. You just stand there and look at these guys with these big hats. You ever been there? And they're guarding it with guns. What happens if you get past that inside? There's more people with guns, only they don't have big hats. They have bigger guns. And there's more gates, more doors. The only way you'll ever get in to see Queen Elizabeth is what? If she personally invites you and you come by the path that she has allowed for you and given you access. It's the same way with God. If you can't even get in to see Queen Elizabeth, a sinner like yourself and my own, me, how are we going to get in to see the living God who dwells in unapproachable light, says Paul, unless the king invites you and you come by his way, and he does invite you. The door is open, and the way is Jesus Christ, and faith in him. That's how we get in. For Christ truly has died for your sins. Why? The righteous died for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's access. To God means from one place to another, into the presence of God Almighty. That's what Jesus came to do, to bring you there through the gate, and he is the gate. He is the door. And Jesus says, if you come to me, I will in no wise ever cast you out. He says, and it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so where are we right now? Have you entered into salvation? Have you gone through that door? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, you have. Then let's say you've entered into the church from the outside. You've gone through that doorway over there. You're in the narthex. Have you entered into heaven yet? Anybody been in heaven?
No.
So let's say this room is heaven. So you got to enter that door. So until you, from the narthex to this sanctuary, you got to fight. You got to agonizomai. You got to be a champion like an Olympian. Hold fast to Christ. Keep to the gospel. Walk with the Lord. And then he will grant you wonderful access into heaven. When you're in heaven, you still have one more door you're really going to go to. You're in God's presence, but the kingdom to come. The world that opens up before you, broad and full of color and life forever. You're in heaven right now. One more door. You're going to go through there at the coming of Jesus Christ. And God says, I who began a good work in you, I'm going to bring this to completion. Because I always finish what I start. I'm going to say on that day, Isaiah, open to me the gates of righteousness that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. And what is the gate? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Blessed are you, having washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb, that you may have the right to the tree of life, and that you may enter the city by the gates. And we're looking forward to that day when it just opens up the whole door. We come into the kingdom and he will say, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How Narrow is the Door to Heaven? I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church, Cape Canaveral. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. We're covering the book of Revelation. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.